One of the biggest productivity hurdles is losing your data. Your computer crashes, you haven't backed stuff up, you've been meaning to, but you just never got around to it. That's where CrashPlan comes in. CrashPlan has been around since 2001, and they're a pioneer provider of cloud-based data protection and recovery services, both to individuals and businesses. And I guess ultimately, you've got to ask yourself, how much are your ideas worth, especially when you lose them? Whether it's a business plan, your images, your spreadsheets, your audio files, any of the files you use to work or manage your home. They've got options for everyone from solo creators to growing businesses. CrashPlan works efficiently in the background while you work, encrypting and sending all your new or changed files to their secure cloud every 15 minutes. And then if something happens to your files, your hard drive crashes, your cat knocks over a cup of coffee onto your laptop, or you just accidentally delete a file, your files are just a click away. CrashPlan makes it simple to restore some or all of your data with unlimited version retention. CrashPlan is your ultimate rewind button. Don't let data disasters slow you down. CrashPlan has your back and keeps you moving. Go to crashplan.com/beyond for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. That's crashplan.com/beyond for 50% off your first year. Back up better with CrashPlan. Hello and welcome back to another episode of Beyond the To-Do List. I'm your host, Eric Fisher, and this is the show where I talk to the people behind the productivity. This week, I'm sharing a conversation I had with Dr. Michael Bruce, a clinical psychologist and sleep expert. In this conversation, we talk about his book, The Power of When, which talks all about what a chronotype is and how discovering what your chronotype is will help you find not only better sleep, but the right time to sleep. Whether you're an early riser, someone who should be staying up late, or somewhere in between, and how that affects your productivity, so that you can schedule your tasks for the optimal time of day for you to accomplish them. Because there are different times for different tasks. I found this fascinating myself, and I know you will too. So, enjoy this conversation with Dr. Michael Bruce. Well, this week, it is my privilege to talk with Dr. Michael Bruce. Michael, welcome to the show.
Eric, thank you so much.
Chronotype. Nobody knows that word, at least right. Unless they've studied this. So let's start there. So okay. What's a chronotype? I know chrono is with time.
That's correct. So chronotype is a categorization, a way to categorize when your body genetically wants to sleep. And people have actually known about chronotypes for a long, long time. Even people who don't study chronotypes have known about them, but they've been called something different. They've been called either early bird or night owl. So I think there are a lot of people out there who are familiar with those types of terminologies. But what I discovered was is actually there's not just two, there's four. And so I went into this whole kind of thing and I discovered this was something, the information I wanted to share with people. And that's where we get the book.
What is your background that you felt like this was something you really wanted to throw a bunch of research behind? And how'd you go about doing that?
Yeah, of course. So I'm a sleep doctor. I have a PhD in clinical psychology, and I'm board certified in clinical sleep disorders. So I took a medical specialty board without going to medical school. And when I passed, they said, oh, crap, I guess you're a sleep doctor now. And so I have been an actively practicing sleep specialist for the last 16 years. And in our practice, I treat apnea and narcolepsy, but my specialty is insomnia. Those are the most difficult patients to treat. They're the patients that I find the most rewarding, although I find all my patients rewarding, my apnea patients, my narcolepsy patients, everybody. But the insomnia ones are the toughest, more times than not, because it's really difficult sometimes to figure out insomnia. And the way the book came about was actually because of several of my patients. So when somebody comes into the office, I have a toolbox, if you will, of, you know, evidence-based, research-driven techniques that I use, non-pharmaceutical when we can avoid it. I'm not a big pill fan. If I can avoid them, I try to make sure people aren't on them. And I had this woman about 3 years ago, and I could not figure her out. And it drives me crazy when I can't figure out a patient. And so I just kind of started to dig in. And I was interviewing, and then finally she said something to me that was fascinating. She said, Dr. Bruce, it's not that I can't fall asleep, and it's not that I can't stay asleep. She said, I sleep at the wrong time. I was like, you sleep at the wrong time? What do you mean? And I had heard of people like who are shift workers, right, who have shift work sleep disorder. So they work at night and then they sleep during the day and their schedules get all wonky. And then I have two children. I have a 14-year-old son and a 13-year-old daughter. And my both of them like to stay up really late and then sleep in the next day, you know, like on the weekends. Like it's a miracle to get my children out of bed on Saturday before like 11 o'clock, right? And so I'm like, okay, so I wonder if she's more like that than like anything else. And so when we started to really think through and look at what was going on with her, we discovered that her body naturally wanted to go to bed at around 1:30, 2 o'clock and get up around 9 o'clock. And that doesn't work well in her social world. Doesn't work well in most people's social world. Right. And so she said, you know, and to be honest with you, I'm about to get fired. And I was like, well, tell me what's going on there. Yeah. So she was like, my boss is tired of me. I can't get to work on time. I'm falling asleep in meetings. I'm not being productive. And I said, let me give him a call. So I gave him a call and I said, I want to run an experiment and I need your help. Can we have her come in about 2 hours later and stay about 2 hours later? And he was like, seriously, in a week, she's going to be gone from the company. Like, I'm going to fire her because she can't keep up. And I was like, look, just give me the week. Right. Let me see what will happen. And he was like, I'm willing to try anything because he really liked her as a person. And she just wasn't completing the work that she needed to complete. So I said, okay. So I called him up about a week later and he said, I don't know what you did, but you changed her completely. I didn't do anything, dude. All I did was say, go to sleep at what feels like your normal time and wake up at what feels like your normal time. And she was going to bed around 1:30 and getting up around 9. He said that she didn't have to come into work until 10:30. So she was at work at 10:30 every day. She was participating in meetings. Her work product was fantastic. And so then I called her house and I talked to her husband and he said, I like her more, which I thought was fascinating, yeah. Right? I was like, holy cow, that's interesting. And then she was getting along better with her children. So all of a sudden, it started to become very apparent to me that by allowing her to work with her natural body clock, all kinds of good things could happen for this person. And then I was interviewing her a little bit more, and she said, you know, when I am at work, I find that there are some times I can do certain activities better than others.
Right.
Right. So like reading research or doing something analytic or being more creative or things like that, like those fell into these time zones, if you will. And I said, okay, we got to figure this thing out. And so I started to dive in the research. Did you know there's over 400 studies looking at chronotypes in various forms, doing various things? And I said, okay, so that's pretty impressive. And the research on chronotypes started out about 15 years ago, right about when I was starting my practice. And I can't say that I kept up with it, but it was always kind of an interesting thing to learn a little bit more because I personally am much more of a night person. So in the categorization that I have for myself, I'm a wolf, right? I'm the person that likes to stay up late. I'm not crazy wolf like this patient was. This patient was kind of an extreme wolf. But I said, you know, 15% of people make up night owls. About 15% of people make up early birds. There's a whole lot of other people out there. I mean, there's still 70% of the population is out there. I got to figure out what they are because almost all of the assessment tools only looked at the extremes.
Yeah. Right?
And so I said, well, that's not helpful. So I said, I'm just going to make up my own. And so I went into the literature and I started learning about the personality characteristics of all of these different types. And I started to ask questions because you'll notice in the quiz, I ask questions that don't seem like they have anything to do with sleep, right? You know, I ask questions like, you know, what's your favorite meal of the day? You know, like, what does that have to do with sleep? You know, things like that. So we were able to create about 35 question quiz. And for those of you out there who haven't had a chance to take the quiz, if you go to thepowerofwhenquiz.com, and Eric will probably put them in the show notes for you, you can click on that. It's completely free. And you go and you learn what is your chronotype. And there are four, by the way. So the first one, oh, and I changed the terminology because I'm not a bird, I'm a mammal, and I wanted to be more like,
right.
And I chose mammals that actually have this specific genetic chronotypes. So the early birds turned into lions, right? Because lions have their first kill at dawn, they're up right before, you know, in the darkness, and that's kind of when they go out and they do their thing. Let me tell you the characteristics of them. They wake up around 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. These are my COOs. These are my type A personalities, get it done kind of people. But what's interesting about them is they don't like to derivate. from their way. Like they have a list and they like to go from point one to point two to point three to point four. They don't like to move around a whole lot, right? And they have a lot of social issues because they're exhausted by 8:30. Like I have a friend of mine who is a lion. You guys may or may not, Sean Croxton. Do you know Sean?
Yes, I am familiar with him.
So he does a really kind of interesting podcast, Underground Health or something. And so he took the quiz and he found out he was a lion. And what was so fascinating is he was like, it was so validating because my wife, it drives her crazy because I want to be in bed by 9 o'clock and she wants to be up late, you know, much later. And so that's the big problem for my lions is they have a really hard time being able to stay up late because that's not what their genetics want them to do. Mm-hmm. Right. And so socially they have some issues. My bears are my extroverts. These are the fun people that you love to hang out with. If you go to lunch, you always want to go to lunch with a bear because they've got a funny story to tell or they know what's going on in the office gossip. They're really good at work and life in terms of they like to play hard. They like to work hard. They get stuff done. They're kind of the fabric of society. My night people are what I call wolves. So I'm a self-admitted wolf. And wolves are a little bit more introverted. We are much more on the creative side. We're the artists and the musicians and the actors and the authors. That's kind of how we let our creative side out. But we don't work well within society. I'd much rather sleep until 11 o'clock at night during the day and then be up until 3 o'clock in the morning. Like that's where I do my best kind of stuff, if you will. But once you get a wolf's trust, they are super loyal friends and they will be your friend forever. And then finally are my dolphins. And so my dolphins are my problem sleepers, right? And so they're my type A personalities, but they have kind of a little bit of an obsessive compulsive tinge to them. And so sometimes their obsessiveness gets in the way of them actually being able to be productive because they're so worried about the details and things like that. It makes it kind of difficult. They're super intelligent, but oftentimes they're not getting things done the way they want to. And they've got obviously issues with sleep problems. So once I figured out these four chronotypes, you take the quiz, you fall into the buckets. Then I said to myself, okay, well, I know you need certain hormones to do certain activities. And I noticed from that patient before that she told me that there were certain times of day that she did things better than others. So I was kind of wondering, how do those things match up? And so I took 50 different activities that people do during the day and started to try to figure this out. And it was literally, it was like magic. It was crazy. Like I would look up an activity and figure out what are the hormones. And then I would look and they literally just started lining up like, you know, ducks in a row. And I can tell people the best time to have sex, eat a cheeseburger, run a mile. I mean, you name it. It's crazy.
Yeah. It's pretty insane how much it lined up. So first and foremost, I took the test and uh-huh. I am in the bear group.
Okay.
And I realized
I love bears. Yeah, they're much fun.
I mean, and I'm in, and they're the majority. I mean, if there's four mm-hmm. groups and one of them's 55%, then that's kind of the majority. But the problem is, and this is where it really tracked with me is I'm going through as a bear. I'm looking at all these things. I'm like, well, that's why I feel tired in the morning because I am getting mm-hmm. up. I am either forcing myself to try to be a lion or to be a wolf. And so I end up being a faulty bear or something like that. So
you have what we call lion envy.
Yes, exactly. Like, and there's, so that's where I want to say something that here is that a lot of people talk all about, because this is a productivity podcast, a lot of people are talking about to be productive, you've got to get up at 5 a.m. or you could make 5 a.m. like your 6 a.m. or your 7 a.m. They give you some leeway, but they're still forcing you to move out of what you really are and into something that you're not. And you're saying, figure out which one you are and then line your schedule up that way. And you're going to be productive and optimal at all times of the day.
That's exactly right. That's exactly how I wanted people to think of it. You know, I got interviewed not that long ago. And what I said is you know, that's great if you're a lion, but if you're not a lion, you're going to be killing yourself. I mean, it's just too much, right? So I think you can have a miracle morning. I think you can have a productivity time throughout the day. I think you said it better than anybody has said it so far is once you line yourself up with your chronotype, you can be productive at any time during the day, just knowing and understanding how your chronotype works.
Well, and for most people that are listening to this, they've always heard this argument between, well, I'm an early bird. No, I'm a night owl. And the fight between those, you know, the bird and the owl. And I actually had never heard the hummingbird, the in-between realm. And I felt that's where, and again, that the hummingbird lines up right with where a bear would be, yep, and the majority of people, exactly, would be, but they're feeling like they're being forced to go one way or the other in terms of getting optimal work done, where they either being told, well, to be productive, you've got to get up super early like the early bird or a lion, or,
right,
you've got to stay up late after the kids are in bed,
right,
and hustle then in the margin and be a wolf. And what's great is you're saying you don't have to, there is no silver bullet here. None of those, you know, you don't have to go one way or the other two extremes. You just need to find the actual true chronotype identity for you.
And that's exactly right. I always say, you know, you can't fool Mother Nature, right? This, mm-hmm, is genetically based. Like, it's not like I just came up with these categories out of nowhere. It's based on something called the PER3 gene. And the length of that gene and the width of that gene determines your sleep drive. And it also determines when your body wants to sleep from a circadian rhythm standpoint.
Right.
So just for people to give them a quick primer on sleep, sleep is actually developed based on two separate systems, okay? So you have a sleep drive, like hunger, right? So I'm hungry. I eat something and that hunger dissipates. The same holds true with sleep. There's a substance in your body that builds called adenosine. Adenosine is a cellular byproduct. So when your cell eats some glucose, something comes out the back end. Part of what comes out is adenosine. And that builds up in your system and hits a very particular receptor site in your brain to make you feel sleepy. Kind of as a little bit of a tangent, if you look at the molecular structure of adenosine and you look at the molecular structure of caffeine, they're off by one molecule, is kind of fascinating, right?
Yeah.
So caffeine slips into that receptor site and it blocks the adenosine. And that's why caffeine will keep you awake. And when you burn through the caffeine, that's why you get the crash, because all the adenosine comes pouring back through.
Oh, right? Wow.
So that's sleep drive. Sleep regulation is actually by your circadian rhythms. And that has a lot to do with your chronotype, right? And again, that's biologically driven. So once you actually take both of these things into account, that's when you can figure out what your true sleep chronotype is. You know, I mean, I've never been good at fitting myself into somebody else's mold. I've always been much better at identifying who am I really, and then just kind of going with the flow. And that's, I think, what the book is trying to accomplish here.
According to the CDC, 74% of the U.S. is overweight. That is a staggering number, and it means that the majority of adults, like myself, need to lose weight to improve our metabolic health. The good news is Prolon can help. Prolon is fasting with food. That's right, it's fasting, but it's with food. And it all starts with Prolon's 5-day program. Snacks, soups, and beverages are all designed to activate your body's fasting state, and it's unlike anything you've ever experienced. With Prolon, you get everything you need, prepackaged, ready to go. Every order of Prolon's 5-day program comes with 5 boxes labeled by day, so you know what to eat each day. Prolon is science-backed nutrition that helps support blood sugar levels and cardiovascular health, and change your relationship with food in just 5 days. I've had experience with fasting myself, both intermittent and otherwise, and Prolon makes it so much easier. It's not a diet, it's science. Science based on Nobel Prize-winning discoveries in medicine. Right now, Prolon is offering Beyond the To-Do List listeners 10% off their 5-day nutrition program. Go to prolonlife.com/beyond. That's prolonlife.com/beyond for this special offer. That's prolonlife.com/beyond. When it comes to hiring, don't search for great talent. Match with them, thanks to Indeed. With Indeed, you can ditch that busy work and use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Indeed leverages over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, making their matching engine your go-to because it's constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use it, the better it gets. I used to be involved giving my input into the hiring process for a few key roles that were connected to mine. And man, do I wish we had Indeed back then, because we could have gotten much higher quality hires using Indeed. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And in the minute I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your job more visibility on Indeed.com at Indeed.com/to-do list. Just go to Indeed.com/to-do list right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/to-do list. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. What's something that works so well, it basically feels like magic? For me, I'm thinking air conditioning, noise-canceling headphones, definitely. Meeting-free Fridays. What about selling with Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your own shop stage to the first real store stage, you don't have to just sell your own stuff anymore. With Shopify Collective, you can curate products to sell from brands you love and give your customers more variety and your business more sales. Shopify is your no excuses business partner. Sell without needing to code or design. Just bring your best ideas and Shopify will help you open up shop. Shopify also helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/beyond. Again, go to shopify.com/beyond now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/beyond.
A lot of these books come out and it's all about the science, and or they forget the practicality of it, or vice versa, where it's just like, well, here's a bunch of tips and tricks, but none of the backing behind it. And you've done this great middle ground where you back it all up. I mean, you really do. You bring all the science in, but not make it boring, and you make it easy to understand and read. And then you also help us to identify which one of them we are right up front. And then we walk through the book and we look at all of our activities that we could be doing throughout the day and at what times of day, and help us to tweak that, you know, by going earlier or later, and we can optimize things. And as I'm going through it, I realized there have been times in the past where as a bear, I have, one of the things is, getting up not early, but getting exercise first thing in the morning as a bear. That's
tough, dude.
It is tough, but that has been one of the things where I fight it if I have to wait to try and fit it in. If I don't get it in first thing,
you'll never do it.
For me, somebody else, it's completely different.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
That, yeah, I mean, it just left and right, I was feeling confirmed. I'm a bear. Like if I went and by past experience alone, like just looking at that, because there was a season in my life where I would get up every morning and first thing I'd go out and I would walk. And it was before I was even really awake, and I didn't have caffeine until a little bit later. And
right,
it was just right on track with what you were saying. So experience proved true.
Yeah. And you know, it's a lot of fun for me because I love hearing stories like yours. You know, I love it when people identify. And, I was talking with one person and they said, you know, I read your book and I have a whole section on when to talk to your kids, which, you know, obviously is pretty important. When we were talking about it, the guy said, you know, I read your book and I had my wife take the quiz and I had my kids take the quiz. And we realized that we could actually go into some parent counseling. And it could be really helpful for us. And so they're using this as a topic for parent counseling. And I was like, I never in a million years would have imagined, you know, that people would take it to that level. And I was so honored, you know, like it meant so much to me to hear that it was so available to people that they could say, hey, how can I use this to better my life? So it's been super rewarding.
That's really cool. That's an amazing application that even you didn't anticipate.
No idea, dude. No idea.
That's so awesome. Well, I mean, if you think about it, fundamentally, we're talking about knowing yourself better so that you can do the right things at the right times, which is what productivity is all about, and even make clearer and better decisions about those tasks at the right times. But then we're also talking about if you know yourself well, and then the person that's also interacting with you, your spouse, your kids, know that you know them well and they know themselves well in regards to this, then it's almost like those receptors. They suddenly then start to click better as like a family unit, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So I'll tell you an example of mine. So my daughter is 13 and she's a wolf. Okay. She's a night person. And when I pick her up from school around 3 o'clock, I say, you know, how was school? Fine. Do you have any homework? No. Did you talk to any friends? Not really. You know, like those are the answers that I get.
Yeah.
But if I walk into her room at 10 o'clock at night and I say, how was school? She'll talk to me for 45 minutes.
Oh gosh.
Right. Yeah. It's just fascinating. Like it's really interesting. And like she and I have bonded so much more because now I know when to approach her, mm-hmm. right? I know when to talk with her more. I know when to kind of understand what's going on with her. And that's really interesting. That's really cool.
Well, so you said you're a wolf and she's also a wolf. So that's really helpful there. What do you suggest to somebody who's – so for a parent like me who's a bear and maybe has a wolf child, how yes. then do we – if I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm ready for bed, but she's wide awake, when mm-hmm. should I talk to her?
So it's all about education. Okay. And so what I'm doing, so it's kind of weird because my whole family, we call ourselves the wolf pack now because my wife is a wolf. I'm a wolf and both of my kids are wolves. Right. So like we won't have dinner until 8 o'clock at night because none of us are hungry, you know, like that's just how we work. But there are differences. And so in the book, I actually created matrices for when to do certain things. If you are one chronotype and your partner is another chronotype, that can be very, very different. But in your case, you're a bear. And let's say you said your daughter is a wolf.
I think so. I haven't really thought about it. I'm going to kind of have them work through the quiz as well.
Yeah, for sure. So one of the things that – so what's good about bears is because bears are extroverted and they can kind of get people there, what you can do is start to move later in the day in terms of when you want to talk to her. You don't have to do it at 10 o'clock at night. But what I would say is, you know, instead of hitting them right when they come home from school and, you know, because what you're thinking is, hey, this is my prime time. It's 3 o'clock. I'm running and rolling. I've got my energy level is high, blah, blah, blah. So just during that energy time, write down a couple of questions that you would want to ask her and hold them, right? And then say to her, hey, can I talk to you, you know, tonight before you go to bed? Just a quick, you know, check in, want to see how things are going. Not like anything big or important, anything yeah. she has to worry about. And just walk into her room while she's getting ready before bed or before right after you've gotten ready for bed and just ask her one or two of those questions. You'll be fascinated at the length and the depth of the answers that you will receive.
Well, I think that's the key there that I've noticed where I suspect she kind of is wolf-like because mm-hmm. a couple of days in a row recently, even late at night, she gets real talkative. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I've got to focus to like really listen because right now she's sharing and that's mm-hmm. good. And so I want to be there for her, you know, as her father yeah. and feeling yeah. that pull of drowsiness myself, but not on, and seeing it's not on her. She's not right. tired. So.
Right. Yeah. So I was talking with one gentleman and it was fascinating. He said that, he's a wolf, but the rest of his family are bears. Okay. And so what he does, and he doesn't want to eat dinner with them because he finds if he eats dinner with them at like 6:30, then the refrigerator's open at 11:30, 12 o'clock at night. And he's, you know, rummaging through it because he's got a sweet tooth, right? Because he ate too early. So he has what he calls a pre-dinner, right? So nice. He sits with the family and he has a very, very small portion of whatever the meal is or just a salad, right? And then at 8:30, he sits and has his meal, whether it's reading a book or, you know, chatting with his partner or wife or whatever. And what he discovered is by doing that staggered meal plan, he isn't gaining weight like he was before, which is amazing. He's not, you know, opening the refrigerator at midnight, scanning to see what there is in there. And he's still able to have that community family time because meal time really is probably the most prominent family time that anybody's going
to
get.
Yeah. Yeah. We try to make that as prominent as we can. And I think the other fascinating thing that I started to glean from this was this idea that the chronotype doesn't really lock in right at first mm-hmm. when you're first born. So the whole, right. the basically let's talk about this, that over time your chronotype it doesn't necessarily change. It just adapts. Maybe is that a better mm-hmm. way? Like because babies are crazy at first. Like they're up all the right. time or at right. night and then they transition into what they really are. But then we also change out of it into the elderly where they're going to bed, you right. know, the early bird special and all that kind of stuff, you know?
Exactly. No, you're right. I call it chrono longevity. Right. And so across the lifespan, we start to see people moving from chronotype to chronotype. And so there's some pretty set things. So we know that, you know, infants and toddlers are lions because they're up at 5:30 in the morning and they're raring to go. And then they're napping during the day and they're kind of a little bit all over the place. And then when they hit like school age, they seem to lock in as bears, right? So they're going to bed when the sun goes down, they're waking up when the sun comes up, kind of bear, like your bearish kind of tendencies. And, you know, society is really built around bears because that's the majority of society are bears.
Yeah.
And then when they hit teenage years, they go into sort of a wolfish phase, right? So that's where they want to stay up late and sleep late. And then once they kind of hit adulthood, they lock into one of the four chronotypes. Then as you kind of move on in years, so I'm 48 And like, as I'm approaching 50, what I'm noticing is that I'm moving slightly towards being more of a lion. Like, I don't go to bed until midnight, but I wake up at 6:30, right? Because I only need 6.5 hours of sleep. So just for those of you out there, 8 hours is a myth. All right. Very few people need exactly 8 hours of sleep. Everybody's different and you'll know how much you need. But I'm kind of a wolf who only needs 6.5. So I go to bed at midnight and I wake up at 6:30. But what I'm finding is as I get older, that's starting to shift and I'm wanting to go to bed closer to 11 and wake up at 6 type of thing. So it's going to start to shift. And a lot of times you end up shifting a little bit earlier, or you can shift more towards a dolphin, which remember are our problem sleepers. And that has a lot to do with medical conditions, medications you're taking, environmental things, stuff like that.
Well, let's talk about that. The dolphin seems to almost be the outlier to the, you know, if we went with that original structure of the birds, where you had early bird, hummingbird in the middle, and then night owl, and you brought those over, that's the lion, the bear, and the wolf. The dolphin's the one we haven't really talked a lot about. And let's go back into those characteristics again, just as a quick revisit. Like, they are that outlier because they kind of are all over the place.
Right. So my dolphins are my type A personalities, highly intelligent, but they really do have a difficult time calming down. These are my worriers. They have a tendency to have a significant level of anxiety, and their levels of anxiety and obsessiveness can actually prevent them from actually being productive and get in their way. So like, what's fascinating about them is these are my insomniacs, right? These are the people that come through my door all the time and say, you know, Dr. Bruce, I tried everything I can to sleep better and I can't do it. And so when I actually can give them a sleep schedule, and that's the first thing that I do with my dolphins, is I actually give them a sleep schedule. And we talk about it in the book, is when you're a dolphin, the first thing that you want to look at, you don't want to go changing, you know, when do you have sex and when do you eat? Start with sleep. Right? Because sleep is one of your biggest factors. And once we can get them locked and loaded into a sleep schedule, lots of other things become easier. But dolphins are a challenge. I think dolphins probably get a lot out of this type of a book because, first of all, it validates them. Like you were saying, it validated you as a bear, right? But also it helps guide them. You know, the perfect day in the life of a dolphin helps kind of give them a way to schedule things out. And not that bears can't relate to this. You know, I've got bears. It's kind of funny is now I'm starting to get calls from companies and they're saying, will you come in and chronotype our company? And then we can have meetings. So like as there's an advertising agency, so they have a lot of creative people, then they have salespeople, and then they have management, right? And so the goal is to find the times when all the, because a lot of the creatives are wolves. So we're scheduling those meetings later in the day. The managers we're scheduling early in the day because a lot of them are lions, right? And the bears are a lot of the salespeople. So we're having those meetings more towards the middle of the day when their energy levels are high. So it's kind of amazing what people are adapting to. And the dolphins, you know, they do struggle. But once we kind of start to get them down the path and they understand what their chronotype is, they don't feel so guilty anymore. I will tell you, a lot of people feel guilty because, like you were saying, they don't get up at 5:30 and, you know, meet the day and all these different things. But I'm much a bigger fan of more of like a Tai Chi kind of methodology. Just kind of go with your flow, right? Just kind of figure out who you are and work within your genetic boundaries. I promise you it'll be a lot easier.
Yeah, that's awesome. I know that there's one other thing other than your aging from, you know, birth to being elderly, is the lunar cycle. We have the, you know, springing forward and saving time and all those. Anyway, the daylight saving time is the right way to say it. How that affects this as well in an interesting way.
It does. It does. So daylight savings time. So first of all, I used to live in Arizona. I lived in Arizona for 10 years where they don't participate in daylight savings time because quite frankly, there's enough sun there to last a lifetime. It's very, very interesting. You know, different chronotypes will be affected differently by daylight savings time. My dolphins have the worst time with it because depending upon if they're gaining or losing sleep, either one doesn't seem to work well with them. Nothing seems to affect bears when it comes to sleep. Bears are my great sleepers. They can go to sleep, fall asleep. I mean, the occasional night of insomnia every once in a while, but generally speaking, they're fine. But my lions don't like it when they lose an hour. No, my lions don't like it when they, when they lose an hour. And my wolves love it when they gain an hour because it's more falls in line with what they're doing. So we have different reactions to that all the time.
Yeah. Well, and I know that as a bear, though, I don't like it being still dark when I get up, Yeah. Even at a normal time when it's like winter time.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know,
I didn't realize that was seasonal affective disorder kind of stuff too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, you know, light, you know, one thing that people should take away from this. And so if you wanted to try to shift your chronorhythm, which is not my biggest thing to do, but if you're going to force yourself to do it, light is the way to do it. And, you know, you mentioned light, you know, light has a dramatic effect on our ability to sleep. So what happens is light comes in and it hits a group of cells in your eye called melanopsin cells. And these send a signal to your brain to turn on or off the melatonin faucet. So remember, melatonin is kind of like that key that starts the engine for sleep. It's not the only thing that you need, but it's certainly one of the most helpful things. And so light is the easiest way to wake yourself up. So for example, when you're a bear and daylight savings time comes along and now you're having to get up in the darkness, make sure that you've got really good, bright lighting. As a matter of fact, I worked with this really cool company called Lighting Science Group. You can look them up on the internet. I think their website is like lighting.science. And they actually make the light bulbs and the lighting systems for the NASA space station.
Oh, wow.
It's incredible. And so what's interesting up there is their day changes every 90 minutes, right? So every 90 minutes, the sun rises or falls for them. And so that has a dramatic effect on their own chronotypes and their own abilities, you know, and a lot of those guys are lions because they're like big go-getters, getting up early in the morning types of people. But, you know, if you get drowsy and you make mistakes on the space station, that's when people get hurt, you know, and so you have to be very, very careful. So this company actually made these light bulbs, and one group of light bulbs has a filter inside it and it cancels out all of the blue light. So blue light is the light that affects these melanopsin cells, 460 nanometers. Mm-hmm. But you can't tell. It doesn't look like this weird, funky light bulb. It's just a regular old light bulb. And then they also make these what they call wide and awake or alert and awake bulbs. And so I keep those bulbs in my bathroom. So in the morning, I flip on the switch and it's like, boom, it's like the sun hits me. And then at night in my bedside table, I have these, I think they call them good night bulbs. And it's really pretty cool, actually. I mean, it's pretty amazing how you can use light as a factor in how to create your environment and how to sleep.
For people who have their iPhone called Night Shift.
It's called like Night Shift.
Yeah.
Yeah, Night
Shift. And so I have that turned on to where at about 7 something in the morning and in the evening, it shifts to, it pulls that blue light in or out, depending on which one it is. And so then I'm not, if I have to look at my screen, which I also try to like not look at screens as much at a certain point in time in the day anyway. But if I have to, that it is not blue light, that it's the sunshine shining in my, you know, eyes at night and keeping me awake. So.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, it's a great way to kind of work with your own circadian rhythm. And it's, I call it the ultimate biohack, because it's really about understanding sort of the timing of when your body can be most productive. But light is something great to use. And now companies are asking me to come in and help them develop their lighting systems, right? And so I bring in this group, Lighting Sciences, and like we can have like on a manufacturing floor, we can have light that can actually help with alertness, you know, and things like that. So it's very, very interesting to sort of see what we're doing these days.
That's awesome. I'm so excited about this book and being able for people to figure this out. This is one of those things where we've kind of gotten way off track as a society in terms of really like, you know, we, you hear all about the agrarian like society where it's like the farmers, and it was all built around that. And then we kind of said, well, forget that. We can have lights on at all times every day and everything. And we just threw this all out the window. And I think now we're realizing we got to go back to not just the, you know, getting up at the crack of dawn and, you know, going to bed when it's the right time. But we do, again, we have these genetic predispositions that really signal, when we should or shouldn't be doing certain activities. And this is great. It's been awesome talking with you, Michael. I can't wait for everybody to get this book. Tell them where they can get it.
Sure.
And so, take the quiz.
Take the quiz. It's at thepowerofwhenquiz.com. And you can buy the book after you take the quiz. You can go to my website, which is thepowerofwhen.com, or it's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, local booksellers. And it's also available in audio. So for you folks who like to listen to their books, and also Kindle version as well.
That's awesome. This has been great. And again, I can't stress enough that everybody needs to go check that out. And I'll have all the links to everything we mentioned in this conversation, in the show notes for this episode. Michael, thanks so much for being on the show. This has been great.
No, this has been my absolute pleasure. If you ever want me back so we can dig deep into when to have sex or drink your coffee or eat a cheeseburger, I'm there.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
Well, that's another podcast crossed off your podcast listening to-do list. I hope you enjoyed this conversation with Dr. Michael Bruce, and I hope you found it helpful to think about what your chronotype might be. But don't forget that you can go over to thepowerofwhenquiz.com to take that quick quiz to figure out which chronotype you have, as well as head over to the show notes at beyondthetodolist.com/323, where you'll find the link to go purchase the book, or that link to the quiz if you are driving a car or out for a walk, something where you can't use your hands. I'll tuck that right there in the show notes away for you later when you're ready. If you found this conversation helpful, I would love for you to support the show by either sharing it with somebody that you know needs to hear it, and or leaving a rating or review in Apple Podcasts or wherever you leave ratings or reviews for podcasts. Thanks for sharing. Thanks for listening. And I'll see you next episode.